for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Spring Camp Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, April the 5th, 2015. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the service, teaching on a personal relationship with Jesus.
So, praise the Lord. Amen. What are you waving back there? All the CDs. Kevin's got them all made up back there. Linda's got them to send them home with you. Everything but the one that's been preached yet.
We can't. The Arkansas stories.
Yeah, the Arkansas stories back there. That's the testimony, the free testimony. You can all pick that up if you haven't received it. I know there was quite a few new people here this time, and so we want to invite you to take that. It's the story, the testimony of Merrill's parents, who were the founders here, and how God orchestrated their lives to establish this place. You know, it's interesting. I told Merrill and Barbara, Kevin was there too, but, you know, those of you that have been coming, Glenn died 4 years ago. He was the founder, and he died at 91. It was his vision. God gave Glenn the vision. Gave Glenn the vision for the ministry. Merrill always had his life out in California. And I told him yesterday, I said, it's like you're a caterpillar.
Yes.
That's morphing into a butterfly.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
We've watched him over the last several years.
Yes.
Not even want to get up here. And now it's just flowing out of him.
Amen.
And he's just becoming more and more comfortable.
Amen.
And they've got responsibilities out there that are, he's moving towards being here more, and we're very grateful for that. But you know, it's interesting to me. In fact, I was thinking this morning during the praise and worship, you know, it was always Glenn and Irma. They were the forces to be reckoned with here. They were the ones that laid down their lives, that gave up everything, literally everything, to be here and to see this place established and and Merrill was just out there. I mean, he'd come back once in a while, but he was just out there. He wasn't really here at all. But God's timing.
Yes, yes.
For such a time as this.
Yes.
And now it's fallen to him. And he has accepted the responsibility. And it's a transition for him and for us to incorporate the new order, so to speak, really. I mean, really, it is. Because he's not his parents. And he will never be his parents. And we don't want him to be his parents. But there's those of us that are here that came up under his parents and were trained under his parents and operate under that still, but we're also in transition learning how to flow and move with the Holy Spirit and Merrill and Barbara, and it's been interesting. It's been interesting for all parties, including people that come here that knew the old way. And but the bottom line is the constant is that God ordained, God brought this place into existence, God is setting up the leadership to keep this place going. That's the constant. Different people, same God, same purpose, same vision, but with a new flavor. A new flavor. The soup tastes a little different.
Yeah.
But it's still good. It's still good. And people are still being fed and nourished and delivered and healed and saved and helped and not. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. And it's good. It's good. It's good. It's really good.
And we're still going to have deliverance camping.
And we're still going to have deliverance camping.
Invite speakers,
Meryl. Why don't you come up here? Come on. Come on. Come on, you fine specimen. Fine looking young man.
Actually, other butterfly coming out of his
lips.
That you're the other butterfly coming out of your cocoon.
I don't know what I don't know if I'm supposed to say it right now. But this is our special day. Not very often does our anniversary fall on a... Not very often does our anniversary fall on a camping. But 35 years ago, we got married here at Lake Helen Bible Camp during a deliverance camp meeting. And on April 5th, 1980, Patty started working here in 1981.
When did you start working?
I started working for Glenn and Irma in California. I was going to high school, and I got saved at 16, and wanted to be able to do something with my life in media, in some type of media work. And so, with my high school, they had a pilot program to learn offset printing. And so I was learning to do that. And I was working for some ministers that were printing some books. And I collated them and stapled them in my mom's garage. And they knew Glenn and Irma. And they got me in contact. And, of course, Glenn wanted me to finish high school. And so I did. And I graduated from that printing thing. And those ministers knew that Glenn had a print shop. It was in storage. They were in the process of moving here. And we never did get the print shop running for 9 years. So it was all about building this place. We moved here in 1974 and started this place. And I'm just a helper. I'm still just a helper. That's what we do.
Amen.
And so that's what it has.
Kevin, wait a minute.
Well, and as he was talking, one of the first projects that when the print shop got set up here back in the office, one of the first major projects that we did, and it was a major project, and that was, at the time, it was blue, but it was the deliverance manual back there, and by Jean and Arlene Moody. And it was done back then. We had presses back there, and he did the plates, and we ran off, that thing was 300 and some pages, and we'd run the pages, and then we'd bring them into the dining room and set them in stacks. And Sandy was here, wherever she's at, she was here way back then, and we would walk the aisles of that dining room and paste those manuals together page by page. And then we had a big press that they would use, and they would punch holes in this thick old thing and put brads in there, and then we had a hard copy. Well, then later, Gene went ahead and had it done at a professional. But that manual was primarily, not completely, but primarily, each lesson in that manual was preached here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in the 80s and 90s. And so each lesson had been a message, and Gene and Erlene would teach their lesson, and later on, then that's when they decided to put this manual together, and we did it here, we did it on the computer. Kevin had to learn how to, that was way back in the day, and it wasn't, nothing was plug and play back then, believe me.
It was DOS 2.0.
Anybody that knows Windows. So here, I want to say something, okay? Two things I want to say. All right, number one, Erlene is gone. The Lord took her in 99, something. I don't know. Anyway, Gene is still ministering, by the way, and he will be one of the ministers at the men's conference here in October, okay? But Erlene, Kevin now is, it's like it's gone full circle, okay? So now he's still in the media business. He now has, we had had the manual online before, and then the website crashed, and whatever, that's another story. So now he's got the manual back online on the LHBC online. This is important for you folks, and it's important for the people on the internet, because it's a tremendous, tremendous resource for you. Now he's going back and taking the old cassettes from the 80s, and he's converting them to MP3 and CD, and on this online structure, he's now matching up the chapter with the audio teaching, and you can go, you can study the chapter, you can listen to the message and the flavor of their voices. They always, 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 always did deliverance after that. So you can get, it's like the crown jewel. I mean, really, people are writing us and saying, wow, you know, we've been studying this manual for years, and now we've got an actual live person to make it become even more alive. And the thing I want to say, and this is not morbid, but as long as Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is here and somebody's doing what this place does, I don't mean to be ugly here, but I'm telling you, when you're dead and gone, you ministers, you're probably going to be reaching more people after you're gone than you'll ever reach while you're here. I mean, Erlene's been gone.
We're adding more credits in heaven for them.
And we listened to those messages back then, and I'm re-listening to them, and let me tell you something. They're awesome. They're powerful. And I would encourage you all to become familiar with that LHBC online site. Use it for yourself. Use it to lead, to direct other people to. It takes a little time to figure it out, but Kevin says, always look at what's new, and then you'll know what's the latest. But my way of doing it is just go down the table of contents of the names of the speakers, click in there, get in there, and get down to business. Because deliverance continues when it's the anointing. It's always going to be the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's not the person. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God. See this beautiful couple? They're lovebirds. You know that? Hell, I don't know how they do it.
You don't have a
I know there are uniquely called and fitted for this ministry they're doing, aren't they? They really are. They're amazing. And what we want to do, first, we're going to sing Happy Anniversary, and then we want to pray over them. Where are we going?
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, Patty and Kevin. Happy anniversary to you. We love you.
I saw them kissing the other day, right over there.
Yeah. They probably do it again.
We celebrate our anniversary every month on the 5th. We just think it a kind of a fun thing for us to see who can remember. Today's our anniversary on the 5th of the month. We've been doing that all these years.
Praise God.
Kiss often, lips never wear out.
Every dance, all sin.
Praise God. Thank you, Jane. Hallelujah. I tell you, I just started singing that, what I knew of that song a couple of weeks ago. It's been over and over. I don't want anything between me and the Savior. I don't want, it's not worth it, folks. It's not worth it. Praise God. Lord, thank you for your provision for this ministry, Father. It's not the only ministry, but Lord, it's a good ministry. And it has a vital place in the work of God. Thank you, Father. Provide, Lord. And provide for that water bill, Lord. And every need that's here, Father. Praise God, Lord. The people that work here, Lord, they have to eat, Lord. These bills have to be paid, Father. All the work that's going out, the ministry that's going out, Father. Provide, Father. Praise God. You have and you will because it's the will of God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And it's a wonderful privilege to be here. Last week I'd gone to town to get some building material because we were doing a lot of building there. And in my rush and so many things going on, getting people lined out, the workers, and I got to town and I reached in my pocket to get my billfold, and guess what I forgot? So I thought, well, it's 12 miles back. From there, it's about 14 miles back home. I was trying to think, and this bright idea came, brilliant idea. I'd go to the bank and get them to make me a check. I mean, I've done business there for 30-something years. They know who I am. They would, and so, I mean, I didn't have my identification or anything. So I went and got a check, and then went over and cashed it. And it came to me, go to the coffee shop across the street. It's on the square. To the coffee shop. There's a lady there that's a co-owner of a coffee shop. Her husband, I've been in there a few times. Her husband has been asking me to go see his wife. It's one of the owners. So I went over there. And so when I walked in, she was busy. When she saw me, she said, oh, come sit down. Let's talk. And I began to talk to her, and she's sitting there at the table crying and weeping, saying, you just don't know what it meant to me that you came in here today. And so we talked. She ministers to people that come in there, but she's allowed it to burden her down, you know, and wishing she wasn't even there now. But God just gave me words for her, and wonderful words because they were His words. And then she wanted me to pray for her. I said, well, is there somewhere we can go pray? She said, no, let's pray right here. And I see the bank president sitting over there, and important people come in there, but pray for them, praise God. You know, it's just being led by the Holy Spirit. There's no one in here that can't have an awesome ministry. I mean, seriously, awesome ministry. There's no one should say, I don't know what to do. I don't have anything to do. Oh, yes, we do, praise God. If we can get out of the idea that we have to stand behind the pulpit to do it. Because you look at Jesus' ministry, more of it was in the marketplace than in any church. Just wherever the people were, praise God. And I'll tell you this, if you begin to be led by the Spirit, they'll come find you. They will find you. I've got over this, thank God helped me get over about delays. You know, oh you're going down and the person in front of you is going too slow and so you got caught by the red light that went on. You could have got through the light and all this stuff, you know, that you do and trying to get done what you have to do. Forget that. There's no delays in God. He has it. He has everything, a divine appointment, some people call it. I was in Walmart in Sulphur Springs and I'd been delayed. Oh my, I'd been delayed. But I was walking down the aisle and this lady passed right in front. She didn't even see me. And so I heard and I called her name. She stopped. And I tell you what, that just opened up all kinds of things. Blessings. I mean, you just can't imagine. It's all in His timing. So why would we ever complain about anything? Lord, to be thanking God. Thank God, Lord, you slowed me down. Praise God, this, that. I got pulled over for speeding the other day. I have not had a ticket in, I don't know how many years. Many, many years, can't remember. And he has school zone. And I know I did not see that. I'm careful because I hope nobody watches this, doesn't need to. My daughter is a dispatcher for the police department. And so I was telling her, I told the officer, actually come up, he's very nice. He said, well, you were speeding 29 in the 20, you know. And he said, but you know what, it's almost time. And he said, in fact, the light's already gone off. And so he said, just go on, you know. And I asked, well, what's your name? So I told my daughter, I said, you tell that man, I appreciate that. And the sergeant somebody, and that's all I can say. And just tell him I appreciate that. And she said, well, Dad, you know that's a speed trap. You got to be careful there. Oh, praise God. I want to talk to you out of this tablet this morning again. And I'm sorry, I intended to speak on the one I preached at my church last Sunday morning, Following Voices. But you can go on the website. I'll have it up soon. And you can read it there. I believe it's of God. We have to be able to detect God's voice and hear His voice. But I want to just talk to you out of my heart this morning, out of the Word of God, about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask You to help this morning. You to speak to our hearts. Lord, I know You look down and You long for a personal relationship with us. You see people running around doing things for You, knocking themselves out. Oh God, just in a dither, Lord. And all You want us to do is slow down and have a relationship with You. And to know You and to fellowship with You. But people are so busy, Lord. And Lord, I just ask this one, You'd make this the greatest service that's ever been here. Why not, Lord? They are to, every one ought to be better than the last one. Or any of them, Father. If You really speak to hearts this morning, Lord, about establishing and maintaining a personal relationship, a love, intimate relationship with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You know, I tell you, I have no desire to do ministry for the sake of ministry. Any ministry we do should come out of our relationship with the Lord. It must come out of that. Not out of study, Bible school, experiences, and they enter in there, but it must come out of hearing from God. I told you that every morning I have to spend time in prayer. That's just going to be. There's nothing can get in the way of that. And it's there that God speaks to me. The sermons come from there. The messages, more than I could ever preach. You know, after a while you figure out some of them were just for you. I have sermons I've never preached. I probably never will. And you realize that God was just speaking to me. But I put them in the journal. Be sure and write down what God gives to you because you'll forget. Is that right? So, oh, well, no, you'll forget. So write it down. Well, I want to begin looking at 1 Samuel. Praise God. 1 Samuel. And if I can find the right place here. Praise God. But if you want to be turning to 1 Samuel, and it must be chapter 14. Praise God. If I can find it. I want to tell you something. The Lord is very good at humbling me while I preach. If you understand what I'm saying. And I thank God for that. Saul had not been king very long. And while he was king, he'd just been king for a year, in fact. And he had reigned 1 year, it says in the beginning there, chapter 13, reigned for 1 year. And he has his first test, his first trial comes up. And he miserably fails it. Because he thinks he's got to do something. He thinks he's got to do something instead of waiting upon the Lord. People have a problem. Many people have a problem when someone else gives them a word from the Lord. And they actually get an attitude, that's just your opinion. I had a man in our church years ago. I couldn't keep him in church. You know, I was trying to. Even went on a long trip with him trying to talk to him. And he was a Boy Scout leader. And one month, one weekend out of the month, they had a camp out. And he boldly told me that camp out, he was doing more for God than most ministers were. I thought, well, maybe you are some, but I don't think all of them. But he called me. His wife and children would get greatly blessed. I mean, they came faithfully, lay hands on, pray from God, was blessing. He called me over to his house, and he said, look, he said, I can't live up to what you preach. And he said, besides, that's just your opinion, and I have my opinion. And he said, we're not coming back. And I looked at his wife, and here's this woman that God's blessing. You know, I've had people I've laid hands on, and the Spirit of God come mightily upon them, and God do great things for them. And later on, they'll fall away and cuss me, and say terrible things, and lie on me, and all that. That's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow. When you look, and you want to tell them, hey, what happened to you? When, you know, I used to lay hands on you, get blessed, but now I'm the devil. You know, whatever you think I am. But you have to watch that when it comes from someone else, and think because it came through their mouth, then you don't have to listen. See, that rebellion rises up. Saul had a real problem with that. And Aaron and Miriam had a problem with it. And they said, hey, we hear from God too. And Moses said, the Lord spoke and said, we'll find out who's hearing from God and who's not. And, you know, the leprosy came upon her forehead. And their attitude changed really quick. Now, so he did not wait. And he went ahead and offered the sacrifice. He said, I forced myself to offer this sacrifice. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now would the Lord have established your kingdom upon Israel forever. Verse 14, but now your kingdom shall not continue. Those are hard words. Those are hard words. Your kingdom shall not continue. If you heard those words, what would be your reaction? What should be your reaction? Well, I'll tell you, first of all, we need to repent. And if we do lose the kingdom, you know, if we do, at least keep the right spirit, keep the right attitude. All of us in here have been kicked out of positions or jobs or whatever. Most, I'm sure all of us probably have. It's a bitter pill to swallow. But keep the right attitude. You know, when David was facing being kicked out of his throne by his own son, and he's walking up the ascent there of the Mount of Olives, and Shimei comes out cursing, cussing, throwing rocks and dirt at him and spitting on him and you bloody man and all this. And some of David's mighty men, shall I go and take his head off? And we want, that's what we like to do. You know, the Lord showed me something when the parable there of the man that owed a lot and was forgiven. Then he went and found someone owed him, a small man, and grabbed him by the neck. Hey, do you have anybody owing you? Be careful about grabbing them by the neck. And in our Christian school, there's a lady who lives on the corner right around the school, owes us thousands of dollars. And sometimes I'd like to go grab her by the neck. But don't be grabbing anybody by the neck. Praise God. God's forgiven you, and we can forgive them, even if it's money they owe and we're desperate. Okay? But anyway, so he's going up and up there, and he says, no, let him alone. God, perhaps God sent him out here to curse me. If I'll keep the right attitude, God will restore me. He'll bless me for it. See, and so it's very imperative that we keep the right attitude when we're being mistreated in any way. And in fact, in the New Testament says, you know, if you did wrong and you're corrected or punished for it, and you have the right attitude, what's that? But if you did right and you were punished or in any way for it and you keep the right attitude, it says that's thankworthy with God. My issue is not with those people. It's what does God think about what I'm doing? That's the important thing. He said, but now that your kingdom shall not continue, the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. Those are the most awesome words. God has sought after him or himself, a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded you. Now that doesn't happen for years. Nobody even has a... Samuel doesn't even know who it's going to be. Okay? He doesn't even know because when he gets to Jesse's house, he thinks it's the first one. And then the next one. And God said, no, God looks on the heart. Not on the outward appearance. Man looks on the outward part. It's all about the heart. And over the many years, I have seen churches that would the pastor leave or they run him off, whatever, anyway it's gone. They're going to get another one. And these carnal people, you know, they elect their pastor, and it's all a popularity contest is what it is. It's whichever one's head and shoulders above everybody else, that's the one they're going to get, you know. Most of them don't even pray and seek the will of God. And we're the same way. Maybe not about seeking a pastor, but about everything else in our life. We're out there. You know, a man told me one time, he went to our church, and he angrily pulled me aside and said, I don't know why he said that. What in the world? I said, but he said, the best guidance is common sense. Oh, he was angry when he told me that. Well, the man couldn't hear from God. That was obvious to him. He was obvious. But, no, common sense is not the best guidance. In fact, sometimes it'd be the worst guidance. All common sense is what you've been taught, what you've heard, what you think, what you feel. We need to hear from the Holy Ghost before we do anything. And don't do it till you hear. He should have done nothing until Samuel showed up. Now, but a man after his own heart. Now, whatever we think that means, we may think that a man is going to obey God. Well, that's true. A lot of things could be true. But let me tell you, God's looking for a man to lead his people that has a heart after him. And you read that man's Psalms, David, the Psalms that David wrote. And this is a man that has a relationship with God that Saul didn't know anything about. And in these two men, you see a picture of every churchgoer. I'm just going to say churchgoer. I'd like to say Christian, but because people think they're a Christian, don't even know what a Christian is. But every churchgoer in here is this. Now, we see the difference here. Saul is a man that's called and doing a work for God. I mean, that's what the king did. He's busy doing a work for God, messing up, yes, sorry that he is. But then over here you see God replaces him with a man that has a heart after God. He said how he's as a deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul longeth after thee. This is the man, the kind of man or woman that God wants to serve him, that God wants to put in positions. I have seen pastors over large churches that, well, I don't think I'm being judgmental, but I tell you, it's fact, and by the fruit you'll know them. And if they knew God is a mystery to anybody, but they're a good manager, maybe they're a good whatever they are. I remember one time we were in Mexico, and I went with another pastor, and he was going to go with another group, but we were going a different direction than some from my church. And so we got down, and we were, when you get to Laredo, Laredo's a boom town, Laredo, Texas. You know, I didn't even know where in the world Laredo was, but years before that, I'd heard the word Laredo. And I said, I just heard the word Laredo. That's all. It wasn't a paragraph or a book, just a word. And, so the gift of, you know, of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, it's a word. And if somebody gets too lengthy with that, you just write that off. But, they probably got out of the spirit into the flesh and operating out of their mind then. That's good teaching right there. And so, Lord help. I don't even like to say that because I was at a meeting and the speaker turned around to the speaker and said, that's good preaching, you know, to the speaker or himself. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about there, but it bothered me. You don't have to say it is. You don't have to say if it is, it'll have results, okay? And you'll have to cheerlead for yourself. But anyway, and so this pastor I was with, he said, well, the group I'm coming, I don't think they're coming tomorrow, and they had these rooms reserved so we can get a room, because you can't hardly get a room. So we got the room, and one of the ladies with us had got very ill. I mean, very ill. Well, we went to eat, and lo and behold, this other pastor with his big group shows up. And he's very cordial, nice, but when we get back to the hotel, he's like Dr. Jekyll and Hyde, you know. So, whoa, what has come over this man? He's very angry. He tells us to get out of his rooms. And while we're trying, okay, you know, while we're getting our stuff together, their people are coming in and pushing us out, you know. And it was a very ugly display. I mean, heated, ugly. I want to tell you something. A man after God's own heart is not going to act that way. What does God want? Who does God want operating His work? Who does God want? A man or woman that loves Him, oh, I tell you, intimately, that has fellowship with Him. They're walking with Him. They're in love with Him. That's who He wants doing His work. I don't care how educated they are, if they got 3 PhDs behind their name, if they're the most handsome or beautiful person you ever saw. I don't care who their parents are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God's looking for a person after His own heart that says things like that, as the deer panteth after the water brook. So my soul longeth after thee. That's who He can use. That's who He wants. Anyone else at the head of anything is going to misrepresent Him. They're going to get angry. The next day I went with him to the place that group was going to, a large group, and I went with him, and that pastor was doing everything, you know, he, somewhere in the night he realized I messed up in front of this other pastor, you know. I did what I, and he's trying to fix it, you know, but then I'm sorry, brother. It ain't fixed with me. You know, I forgive you, but it's not, I saw you. I know what you are, you know. And see, there's a lot of people in places of leadership that got there some other way. It's like in John chapter 10, they climbed up over the wall and they've got the stranger's voice with them. But that's all right, don't worry. You say, well, if it's a stranger's voice, they'll have a little bitty church. No, it'll probably be the opposite. They'll have a great big church because people that don't know the shepherd's voice are following them, you know. Here they come. And as long as you'll say what they want to hear, they'll be there. And I was listening to Brother Clinton. He said, as long as they'll chase the ambulances and every time you stump your toe or Grandma so-and-so does, they're there. But they don't have time to be with the Lord. Now, after His own heart, praise God. Now, I want to look over to the New Testament. Praise God. In 2 Corinthians, praise God. Let me find the verse I want here. Thank you, Jesus. I should mark these, shouldn't I? That's okay. Maybe you can help me find it. If you knew what it was. praise God. Well, the one I want to find is we know no man after the flesh now. Somebody help me find that verse. We no longer, though we did know Christ after the flesh, now we know no man after the flesh. Have you found it yet? Praise God. Well, I'll just tell it to you. I know it. Here it is. 5:16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. No more. See, what you got is you got... What you have is most people know Jesus only after the flesh. But we have to, we can't know Him after the flesh anymore. You have a Saul that knows Him after the flesh, and you have a David that knows Him after his heart. Are you understanding? How do you know Him this morning? How do you know Him? See, do you know Him only for the purpose of deliverance? Are your finances, are your relations, your marriage, or your job, how do you know Him? Do you know Him only as a ticket to heaven? Fire insurance against going to hell? How do you know him? Do you only know him after the flesh? Most people only come to God because they're in trouble. That's not bad, because most of us came that way. The prodigal son came home because he's in trouble. Had he not gotten in trouble, I don't know if he'd ever come home. And it's okay to come that way. But somewhere that better transition into you're a person that's after his heart. That you're finding him. But for most, it's not that way. Most of them go and get their fix. They'll come here and get their fix. They come wherever you're at. You're minister, pastor. They want a fix, but they don't want Jesus. You know, they're going about to establish their own righteousness and not submitting to the righteousness of God. And the Lord, all he wants, folks, you know, Jesus is seeking a bride. That may be a little difficult for men to understand that. But he's looking for a bride. And it's the Spirit and the bride that are going to say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's the bride. The bride has made herself ready. See? And if you're not the bride, if you're not anticipating this, the marriage supper of the Lamb, if you're not anticipating being with the one you love, you're not going to prepare yourself. You're going to be like the child that's always just wanting something. How many of you like to be used? And you realize that someone's just using you. And if you give them what they want, they love you. If you don't, they hate you. And they throw a fit, you know, like the child in the grocery store. You've seen them. I mean, screams so loud, half the Walmart can hear them. Kicking and crying and screaming and, you don't love me because you didn't give me that. Praise God. That doesn't work with God, by the way. There's only two kinds of people sitting on a church pew. Those that know about God, know him in the flesh, or the Lord, and those that know him personally. They have a personal relationship with him. Have you moved from knowing him in the flesh, the outward revelation of Christ? Have you moved to the inward revelation of Christ? Where you are fellowshipping with him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. The Lord is desiring that. Why do you think he's saving us anyway? Why did he come to the cross and die on the cross? He did it for himself. You can understand this. He did it for himself. He did it to get a bride. He didn't get it so us poor, wretched people could, you know, whatever, get out of hell. He did it for a bride. I proved that to you in Revelation 4:11. We were created for his pleasure, for our relationship with him. If you're not having that relationship, if there's no love between you and him, if you're not having an intimate relationship, I want to say to use the right words here. If you're not having a fling with him, you know, if you're not, David Wilkerson used to say, if I can remember the right word, trysting with him, I believe is the word he used. You know, where you just, you and the Lord, and you're loving on each other. If anybody heard you, they'd think you're crazy, you know. But it's that way with you. I mean, he needs more than you. You don't want anything between you and him. You know why what keeps me from, and not that I always am do everything right, but the thing that keeps me that I don't want, that'd be better said though. The reason I don't want to sin or do wrong is because I don't want anything to come between me and him. I need that relationship. I need to feel his presence every morning. I need to feel him in here. I want his love to be shed abroad in my heart. By the Holy Ghost. That's what I want. Take your church business. Take your whatever you got going. Your business. And I think I might have told you, I don't know, but because of the position I have, churches sometimes when they give it out pastor, I'm having to be their secretary treasurer. And there was one, and this one I've had to do it for them several times. And I'm glad to do it. Somebody's got to do it. And so he took the church and he called me up and said, can I come over and get the books? The first thing they want is the first thing is the key, the next thing is the books. primarily the checkbook, you know. And he, can I come and get the books? And so he was telling me, he said, well, you know, a church is just a business anyway, and you got to run it like a business. I said, oh, my God, brother. I should have told him that. Someday I'm going to get bolder. But I would not want him for my pastor. If he thinks all that is a business, but you know what? There's a lot of them out there, nothing but a business manager. They're running a company, a business, and they run it like that. Amen. And they have conflict resolution. They go to training for that. They go to training for this. And you know, and a lot of things they teach, these pastors, they could teach to Walmart employees. They could teach it to anybody. I mean, just anywhere. It's nothing but motivational speaking. It's to get the most out of an employee. And when we got sucked all your life out, we'll keep you out of the way and get a new one put in your place. I know that, so. They'll run you down to the ground and then bye, you know, and sorry we can't use you anymore because you're crippled now and you're wore out and so we're going to get somebody else. The Lord will never do that. I know He won't do that with me because I have a love relationship with Him. And He visits me. He comes, praise God. He comes. I told you I was one morning years ago, I'd get up early in the morning, go up to the church, it's the old building, the old wooden building we had, and I just lay down on the, between that, we just had two rows of pews and they were jammed up against the wall. We couldn't, you know, a small crowd looked like we was just doing great, because it didn't take but a small crowd. But I was laying on that floor, and I'm laying there, and I'm minding my own business, and I don't like to tell this to everybody, because it's personal. You know, a man or a woman, unless it's something weird about you, you don't go tell people about your bedroom business. You don't do that. So I'm going to be careful here. But I'm going to tell you, I was laying there, and I'm minding my own business, kind of. And I'm not moving. And all of a sudden, I feel a wave come from my head to my feet and back. Whoa. I'm laying there and I'm not moving. I'm not even dancing in the spirit. I'm not shouting. I hadn't fallen in the floor. I got the floor. I laid down on the floor. I'm not twitching. I'm not speaking in tongues. I'm not anything. I'm just laying there. And this weight from my head to my feet. And it's like, I don't know, it's like liquid fire going back and forth. I can't describe it. It's like, wow, you know. And I just lay there and I'm blessed by it. I'm enjoying it. I'm blessed. And I think, is this real? Is this weird? Is this, what is this? You know? Well, I finally had to get up and go home and get ready for church. I'm walking home and still, it's right here. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. It's not up here in his head, it's down here. It's in there. It's a fire in there. It's something that I cannot describe. I don't have words for it. But He touched me. I know that. And I've been touched the other way. You know, I've done that. I've run the aisle. One time I ran the aisle, and it was another church. And they had this banister up there, and I cleared that thing, you know. And, I mean, it had to be God. And I believe what someone was saying earlier. We was preaching in a church in Virginia one time. I'm not a worldwide traveler. I don't want you to get that idea, but I'm not trying to present that. But we were there, and the other fellow I was with when I was 18, the day I graduated from high school, myself and this other guy went off to Virginia to hold revivals. In his old 53, I believe, Pontiac, I believe what it was, and that was in 1965. So we went there, and I was taking pictures, and I flashed the camera, and this young man down, it was in the hills of Virginia, and they were hillbillies. I mean, they were real hillbillies. Very few cars they walked, and they dressed like hillbillies. And this tall hillbilly guy over here, and all of a sudden the power of God hit him, and he went to speaking in tongues, and he fell. And as he went down, he hit the old wood-burning cast-iron heater with his head. I don't think he ever knew he hit it. I don't think he ever knew. I mean, he was speaking in tongues. He wasn't holding his, oh, you know. He was getting blessed. Praise God. But as I'm walking home, it lingers, you know. I'm going to tell you, I can walk in our church sometimes and I can feel the lingering presence of God. I can. And that's good. When I was in Israel, again, I'm not a world traveler. This is one time I went. I don't want you to think I go every other week. I was in Israel, and we were walking in Nazareth, and we were walking through this Greek Orthodox church, and they were doing something in there. I don't know what they were doing, the holy smoke and all that. And you have to go, well, the incense thing, you know, and I don't know what they were doing. But we had to go through there to get to the well that they said Jesus had to go to because it's the only well. You know, it's down there. Everything in Israel's got a shrine built over it. And that's kind of frustrating, except they finally explained what they did, we forget where it's at, you know. I went to Israel thinking I'm going to have a spiritual experience. Not so. I'd do better back in my prayer closet at home, and cheaper too. But I'm glad I got to go. My way was paid. So, we had to walk through there to get there, and I am being honest with you, if I ever felt death, I felt death walking through that place. It was eerie and creepy, and I felt it. But you know, I'm just saying, sometimes I walk to our church in the lingering presence of God, oh hallelujah, I just got to stop and praise Him and worship Him and walk around the aisles and pray for a while. It's just there, you know, praise God. Because we bring Him. You don't come to church and work Him up. You bring Him with you. You know, if you're not worshiping Him at home, how can you come up to the church house and worship Him or here and worship Him if you didn't worship Him there? I mean, you got to practice this at home. So you come and you can do it, you know. You don't have to cheerlead people. I grew up in a church that sing the glory down. You know what I'm saying? Ah, fly away, oh glory, or something. And that sing the glory down. But you come and you have His presence in you, it's just going to come out. Such as I have, I give to you. We'll be giving it to each other. Smith Wigglesworth one time went, he felt prompted of the Holy Spirit. He went between the train cars there in England and worships God a little while. Gets refilled with the Spirit. So you gotta do that. Be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine where it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How do we feel the presence of the Lord? By the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. There's no other way. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit, He is living, He comes, when we're baptized in the Spirit, He comes and lives within us. He's not just with us, as we talked about the other night. But He takes the things of Christ and shows Him to us. And He reveals Christ in us. That's what He does. So He got refilled with the Spirit, walks in and sits down in that train car. And you know what? The whole train car fell on their knees and started repenting and praying. And when's that happen with you? Or me? When's the last time that happened? It can. People ought to feel God around you. They ought to say, I feel something different about you, praise God. And it's not because we lost our temper, but it's because of the sweet presence of Jesus, the sweet aroma of Christ. Doesn't the Scripture say in 2 Corinthians that we are the scent of Christ? Doesn't it say that? And to those that are perishing, we're the scent of death. But to those that are being saved, we're the scent of life. But you can't give what you don't have. I mean, do you buy these little scent things you put into the plug-in, you know? And well, what happens when it all runs out? There's no scent. And if you let it run out of you, there'll be no scent. Praise God. But we're going to all be the same scent. You don't go to the store and look on the shelf and pick out a, I mean, it's the scent of Christ, and it's the same. Praise God. That's one way you can know who to trust and who not to trust. Who to open your heart up, not to open your heart up to. As I said the other night, is we don't trust man, we trust God in man. And this is something the Lord showed me. I'd rather trust someone who has failed and repented and been restored than to trust someone who's never been tested. You know, a lot of our churches, I'm sure it's in all denominations, they do a background check before you can work with their kids. I'm going to tell you the main reason they do that, though, is to protect themselves against a lawsuit. Now, just whatever you think, that's it. And why are we having to do background checks? I'll tell you, those old saints in the beginning of this Pentecostal thing, the Holy Ghost would discern and tell them who to leave out of there. You didn't have to do a background check, a personality You know, there's some of them, before you can be a missionary, you have to go have a personality interview. They check your personality and see if you got, you know, whatever. They're all afraid of being sued. And I understand that. But where is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost can tell you who's doing what and who's not doing what. That doesn't mean you always lay hands on them suddenly. Sometimes you got to wait a little while. Well, where did I get that? Well, it's in your Bible. Jesus knew that he had a devil among those 12. But he never corrects him. Watch that. Except there at the very... In fact, then he said, well, just go do quickly what you got to do. If you're afraid of a devil being among you, then, you know, there's something wrong with that picture. There's greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I mean, we need to get rid of demons, but I'm not afraid of demons. And, praise God, I don't know if I can say this, but I knew a pastor, I'm going to say it anyway, I knew a pastor that he had a great big church and a fine brick parsonage. We're living in a little mobile home with a little church. And he's the big man, I'm the little man. One day he came to see me, and I thought, well, that's interesting, drive up his big car. But what it was... We had three levels in the Assembly of God, you know, and ordained this the top one. And he was trying to pass all the tests and do all the things, you know, to be ordained. And he knew I had just been ordained. He'd come by. You know what he wanted? He wanted to borrow my notes. He wanted to borrow my notes so he didn't have to study. But he had me come over there and preach for him. And he's telling us about this sin, the devil, and the screen door, the window screen, that's all the devil here, that's all the devil there. And I said, what's wrong with me? I'm not seeing the devil everywhere. And then it came to me, I'm not looking for him everywhere. I'm not looking for him. If he shows up, you know, God's going to help me. But I'm not looking for him everywhere. And when I was young, this young man friend that we worked together, A&P Food Store, if anybody ever heard of them. And so, Great Atlantic Pacific Tea Company. And we worked together. His name was Sammy Finley. I haven't seen him since 1965. He married one of the pastor's daughters up there where we went. But anyway, he stayed. I went home. But he'd sing all the time. He knew that he was weird. He'd sing all the time and smiling. He said, I love you. But he said in front of people, please quit saying that in front of the customers. He had a New Testament in his pocket, and I thought, okay, I can do that part. So I got one of those Gideon New Testament, read me, don't put it in my pocket. But one of the ladies that worked there said, no, you don't have to do that. Well, anyway, praise God. Sammy, he knew God in a way I didn't know God. And I didn't know God that way for many years. Many years. You don't have to be old to know him like that. But I went to his church, and it's a big church, and they were out there chasing the devil around the church. And I thought, no, I ain't chasing him anywhere. Praise God. Well, Lord of God, I think I've probably said enough here because I want to pray for people. Is this happening? It can. You can move. You can be a person after God's own heart, a woman or a man, a young person, that he's intimate. You have an intimate relationship with him. Sometimes you're not even aware of what's going on around you because you're so caught up in him. You are making yourself, you're the bride. Paul said, I've espoused you to one wife, and that's the Lord. And we must. Listen, I don't know how these people think they're going to go to heaven and be with a Jesus they don't have time for here. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we're going to try to keep his commandments to prove we love him. It won't work that way. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. See, there's no problem. You don't want anything between you and him. You won't allow it. Nothing. No temptation. And if you do fail, you're going to weep and cry your eyes out because you have hurt the one you love. You have disappointed him. You've grieved the Holy Spirit. by whom we're sealed until the day of redemption. And you don't want to do that. I want to encourage you this. I was sent back there, and it just came to, I want to tell everyone in here, you need to have a personal relationship with Him. And when you do, it doesn't matter if the world, so to speak, is falling down around your ears. So, you know, praise God. If God doesn't take care of it, it's not going to be taken care of anyway. Haven't we figured out that the devil's going to make sure people come and try to interrupt that fellowship, that relationship? You must have a time. I appreciated what Kevin and Patty were saying. I think it was Kevin saying, whichever one, the fifth of every month they celebrate their anniversary. That has to be a secret to their success. It has to be one of the secrets to their success. If you want to keep a relationship with Jesus, you must have time to celebrate that relationship, that fellowship. But more than just, you know, it has to be every day. And if you go and you get wherever you pray, however you sit, you know, the first time he touched me, I was laying on my back. So I told you, I walked away and I thought, man, I got to have that again. This is addictive. I've got to have it. So I figured, okay, how did that happen? I was laying on my back. So I go up there and I lock the door in this room at the church and I lay on my back. This is it. You know, this is where it happens. And I say, come, Lord. I just invite Him to come. And He'd come. He would. But since then, I found out I have been sitting in my recliner. I've been walking. The first church I pastored is a cemetery down there. And I could go down there, nobody see you, nobody bother you. This is a good place to pray. And I never did raise anyone from the dead, but it's a good place to pray. But you got to have a place. You can lay on your face, you can lay on your back, on your side if you want to, wherever, hallelujah, you know, and He comes. Does He come every day? No, not like I want. It's never His fault, though. Sometimes I'm already caught up in what's going to happen that day, you know, I'm distracted and I try to get rid of the distractions and the thoughts come and you need to rebuke, you have to rebuke the thoughts. And get rid of them and keep focused, because that's it's not just the devil, it's our own mind. Settle that mind down. Stay there long enough till your mind gets quiet and your spirit can begin to rise up, you know, and connect with the Lord, praise God. Hallelujah. You know what? The best thing there's all kind of books on prayer. The best way to learn how to pray is to pray. And there could be, there's not very many books about what I'm talking to you about, but the best way to find out how it happens and to keep it going is just do it. It never would have happened. It never would have happened if I hadn't, when I'd get off work, I'd go by that church and pray. I sought God, and in time He came. In time He came. Praise God. I want you to stand with me. Would you play that chorus, "Oh, the Blood of Jesus"? That's the other one, another one I've been singing in my heart. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Praise God. Oh, praise. Sometimes I start my time with the Lord out with that. I started out with singing and just worshiping. Praise God. Hallelujah. It'd be really good if everyone here would come and stand this morning. Would you do that? Just come and let us stand. And just come and stand by the place up here. It washes white as snow.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.